We're in Titus chapter 2. We're still in verse 5, but let's read a few verses. Remember what we were talking about and the connection here. On verse 2, it says, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith and love and in perseverance. And then in verse 3, older women likewise, I'm going to use this word a few times, in like manner, or just so is what he means here, as what's required of the men, they're to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, they're not to be drinkers, teaching what is good, verse 4, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. So in verse 5, which we're still in, they're to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So to teach younger women to have common sense is what it means. To be pure and holy before the family, workers at home. This implies children, basically, is what they're talking about. The main ministry of wives and mothers, as far as Scripture is concerned, is that to be wives to their husbands and good mothers to their children. Submissive means subject to. It means to obey. People like to alter words because we think because we live in a democracy, it changes Christianity. It does not. Simply because our democracy gives women equal rights. Scripture does not. The Scripture has various authorities and puts the man responsible to God as a head and the woman subject to him. If women cannot go along with that, they should not profess to be Christians. They should live their own lives and do as they please. And then answer to God at the day of judgment. So they'll be subject to their own husband's authority as he is subject to Christ is what it means. His job is to rule over the family. He's accountable to God for what goes on. God holds him accountable. He is, as the women, he is to instruct them in godliness in the home, the love of Christ by example, and thus not bringing a reproach on the church or the true body of Christ. And women often do this by not respecting their husband's authority. In our society, government and various norms produce this. But as I said, that does not sanction it spiritually. So governments can do as they want and people can do as they want, but God doesn't change. So that's why we will have hundreds of millions of professing Christians. In this case, it will be women who will think they're going to heaven and they're going to be sent to hell because God is not into rebellion. He does not like rebellion, and we're going to find this as we go along. So in the Roman world, the Greek world, the Hebrew world of the apostles, women were under authority. And in the church, they were under authority. So there was no place out in society where women were in control, where women ruled men. It just was not done. And it appears that God wishes this to continue in the body of Christ, that authority is delegated by God, and he sets up the order. And he doesn't change it because the governments and people want to change it. So people have all of these reasons why we should change these things. But that's the world, and we're not to live like the world. We're to live under God's principles. So if people want to live like the world, if they don't want to obey plain scriptural teaching, then they are rebellious. They are adversaries of God. It's very plain in Scripture. This is why most professing Christians in America and Europe and most places are false Christians. See, they take a few teachings of Jesus and of the apostles that they think's nice, and they use that. But then when they come across some of these harder scriptures, they don't like them. So they try to, as all heretics do, it really doesn't mean that. That's one of their hallmark statements. When I've debated with heretics and false Christians who propagate false doctrine, they always want to tell you, it really don't mean that. When in most cases, it's so plain, it doesn't mean anything else. So we're not talking about dreams and symbols and visions and prophecies that have hidden meaning and are hard sometimes to figure them out. The plain word of God, instructions of how to live, how to be upright and moral in our lives and in society, is very plain. There are no hidden mysteries. So one of the plain ones is that women have to be submissive to the men. They have to be submissive to their husbands. And if not, they don't need to be claiming to be Christians. Here we're dealing with the women. The men will answer for more. They are the higher authority. They do not do what's required of them. They will be doubly punished by God. So he'll work it all out. But we do not allow modern society to dictate and alter scripture in a true gathering, which there aren't many left. But we do not adhere to that. We adhere to what the Word of God says. To the modern world, it's very archaic. That's why they want to say, well, that was for that time, and Paul didn't want women to speak because of this. They're twisting scripture, as the Apostle Peter said, to their own damnation. These scriptures are plain, and God has a reason for setting them up, and he explains it if people will study scripture and believe what he's talking about. So the woman that was not under authority, who did not respect and obey her husband in society during the Roman time, he became a mockery and a joke to those around him. The Romans joked about this. They had a disregard for him because they could see something's out of order here. So a woman that was loud and bossy and demanding and argued with her husband in the public and displayed that kind of personality, they saw the man as being spineless, and they saw who the real boss was. But society didn't accept this. The public society did not accept this in any of those orders, the Roman world, the Greek, or the Hebrew. They did not tolerate this publicly. A man could be spineless and let his wife and children rule him, but the community did not, and they had no regard. And his position in the community and in the synagogue would be nullified if they saw that he was not ruling his home properly. Therefore, we saw that even the apostles said you couldn't be an elder or deacon if you didn't rule your home well. If you can't control your own family, you have no business leading or teaching in the church or the body of Christ. Again, to repeat, women in the body of Christ had no public ministry, we could say. They had no public fivefold ministry as many say they do today. It's very popular today for women of these big mega churches and well-known husbands to be co-pastors. This is nonsense. You cannot find one scripture in the epistles of the apostles where women acted in the fivefold ministry as a public authority. It was not done. It's so contrary to our democracy because we have women senators, governors. We almost had a woman president, and our government accepts this. And that's fine. Governments can do as they please, and the world can do as it pleases. But that doesn't alter God's plan for his own people. See, there's the danger. You have many professing Christians and women in this particular area who rule over men, who rule in government, who rule their husbands. I can say with true authority of God's word, they will not make it into the kingdom of God. No more than a rebellious man who claims to be a Christian does not obey the Lord and do his duty before God, he will not make it into the kingdom. He won't lose rewards. He'll lose his eternal soul is what's going to happen. So that's the times we live in, and they're not going to get better. They're going to get darker. And if you go to Isaiah, there's nothing new in societies ultimately. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. As for my people, he was talking about the Jewish covenant people. It's the Lord speaking here. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. My people, those who lead you, cause you to error and destroy the way of your paths. Who's doing this? The women. Isn't it very plain? People don't like those scriptures, do they? It still applies. Children are your oppressors, and women rule over you. They lead the people in error. See, God does not give the woman that position in the home, in the body of Christ, or in society. He will not sanction this. Children, it means oppressors, they're wearing their parents down. They're oppressing them. They're spoiled. They're pampered. They have no respect or obedience. And we see this all the time, even among those who claim to be Christians. I see it at the when I go to the store, when I go out in the public restaurants, the children and teenagers, young as they rule their parents. They dictate to them. They get what they want. The parents give in because they don't want to fight with them. See, they have wore them down. They have oppressed them. And whose fault is it? It's the parents' fault. And God's going to hold them responsible for breeding rebellious children. It's going to come back on the parents' head. Because if they were taught as little children and disciplined properly, this would not happen. This would not be the general rule. But I've seen kids insult their parents at restaurants. I've seen them be snide and have sarcastic remarks, and the parents sit there and take it. And they wouldn't take it from an adult, but they take it from their own kids, because the root word there is idolatry. See, we live in society where parents want to be friends to their children. See, when you do that and you lower your standard and want to be equal, they lose respect for you. God did not intend for you to be your children's buddy or his equal. That was not God's intention. But see, parents are misguided out of their perverse affections and human love and sympathy. Their children rule them and oppress them. And then their wives basically do the same. And so we see, it hasn't changed much. This was written 3,000 years ago. This is what usually happens when you don't have godly authority being upheld. So as stated before, the apostles said, and it was a command of the Lord Jesus Christ, for women to be silent in the church gatherings. Now, this is a hard scripture. This is the one the women have a hard time getting around, especially the co-pastors and the women that lead their evangelistical movements and stuff. He did not permit them to teach over men, and he has not changed his view. First Corinthians, they try to mark it off. The customs have changed. That's true, but on certain principles, God doesn't change, and we are not to allow false teachings and things we don't like to cause us to alter scripture, which is very plain. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at 34. We'll read several scriptures. Let the women keep silent in the churches. He's speaking of the public gathering here. Like I said, we're not basically talking about two or three people sharing and talking with scripture. This is not what he's talking about. He's talking about those ruling. Those have an authority over the body of Christ as teacher, elders, pastors, shepherds, and so forth. He said they're to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak publicly, is what he's talking about. But they are to be submissive, as even the law taught. They are to be submissive is obedient. They are to obey is what it means. And if they want to learn something, he said, let them ask their husbands at home. For it's shameful for women to speak in the church. It was custom there. They were having problems because the women usually sat in separate areas from the men. And if the woman had a question, she might speak loudly across the room and ask her husband, what does this really mean? And it would interrupt what's going on. And so in that context, Paul was saying, wait till later to ask these questions if you have them, so that the meeting will not be disturbed. So they're right on that. But see, before and after, he makes it very plain, and there's no way around it unless you want to dispute Scripture, okay? So again, he says, shameful for a woman to speak in the public gathering. Has God changed his mind? He has not. So it nullifies many women's ministries. It nullifies any woman who thinks she has fivefold ministry in the public. It's not so. Because to have fivefold ministry, to be the ministry of an office of an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or overseer, or teaching elder, you have to exercise authority. You have to reprove, rebuke, sometimes excommunicate, discipline, and God does not permit the woman to do this over men. Doesn't even permit her to do it with her own husband in private. See, it's one thing to share an opinion, but it does not negate who is in authority, and authority must be upheld. The opposite of authority is anarchy. And we'll see as we get into other verses, God will uphold slavery under certain conditions rather than anarchy. See, because so-called liberty that we think is so wonderful often breeds license to be corrupt and sinful. It drags down authority. So in some countries and some nations, they don't have no right to have democracy. The people are too rebellious. They need a strong leader, a king, someone to subdue them. See, that is so contrary to our American way of thinking. But most Americans, like Europeans, are end up in hell anyway. So their government's going to end up there also, the people. God hasn't changed. So he isn't into freeing everybody so they can be wicked and rebellious in society. There is always authority as far as God is concerned. And he doesn't give it up. And he doesn't allow people that claim to be Christians to give it up without rebellion. So he says, did the word of God originate with you? See, those who were disputing him over this, those in the Corinthian church, probably some women who were ruling their husbands were trying to get their opinion in there. So he's asking them, did the word of God originate with you? He, in a sense, is letting them know, I am an apostle. I am an apostle to the Gentile. I help lay the foundation of what is the church's function and how it's to work in the world. He's the one who's laid the foundation with the apostles, but he was the main apostle to the Gentiles. And he said, or was it you only that it came to? So see, he is putting them in their place. You're going to argue with me, who has the authority to lay the foundation and instruct you in what proper church order is, because you don't like it, you're going to dispute me, is what he's basically implying. Now, verse 37 is very difficult for those women who want to pastor and be prophets and apostles. It's very difficult. There really is no way around it, if you can be honest. If anyone, so this implies anybody, any Christian, who thinks he is a prophet or prophetess and is spiritual. If one of you think you're spiritually mature and you have fivefold ministry, he could say, then he must acknowledge the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. So what was he just talking about? See, they want to forget that. Well, he's in the same subject. Back to three verses before. Let your women keep silent in the churches. They are not permitted to speak, but to be under subjection. What is Paul saying? This is a commandment of the Lord. He did not say it was his opinion. When Paul has an opinion, he lets you know. And even when he gives an opinion, he tells you, I've been given wisdom from God. So he's saying you ought to listen to it. But this is not an opinion. He says this is a commandment of the Lord. So if you go against this, you're in rebellion against the Lord. A person who is willful, stubborn, and rebellious cannot remain a Christian long, because that is the spirit of anarchy. That is the spirit of the devil. See? And so people who claim to be Christians and they won't obey the Lord, I've heard them tell me, oh yeah, I think the Lord wants me to do this, or I know he does, but I just can't do that. Well, then you're a false Christian. Oh, they get all upset. Well, yeah. Well, I'm still, I love the Lord. I said, don't give me that garbage. The love of the Lord is to keep his commandments. And so on major things, when you cease to obey the Lord, you cut yourself off from God. That's why the scripture is very plain on these matters. Paul names various sins, and he did not permit them in the gathering, and these people would be put out. There were no repentance, and they didn't wait long. They made sure the person understood what was happening, but it had to stop. They didn't put up with adultery and fornication. They didn't put up with drunkenness. They just didn't do it. See, they knew how to handle. They said, if you want to live like the world, then get out. Go live like the world. But you can't be a part of us, because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of holiness, and he does not permit this. So many people want to dance around this. And many years ago, when I do a lot of phone counseling, oh, they'll dance and answer, and they have all of these reasons, and that's why they stay deceived. They're living in adultery, and they tell me they're spirit-filled Christians. I tell them they're filled with the spirit of the devil. Well, you don't understand. I was born again, and I had a vision. And it mean nothing. King Saul had those things, and God rejected him, and the spirit left him and cursed him, and he became demonized. And the scripture says those things are written for us, the Christian, that we learn not to be disobedient. Oh, the same thing will happen to us, see? But it's the false teachers that dance around all these subjects. So I've debated the women who try to argue their way around this scripture. See, they'll try to go back to, well, that was the custom. I said, well, I don't see that here. Here it says it's the commandment of the Lord. So custom. We honor custom, public custom. We honor governments where it does not directly conflict with Christianity, with morals, and government sanctions wickedness and all kinds of perversions and says it's okay. We don't. We see it for what it is. It's wickedness, and God's going to destroy these people for their wickedness. He doesn't accept it. And then he says, and if anyone is ignorant, let him remain ignorant. So what is Paul saying? I've told you how it is. If you want to fuss and fight, you stay stupid. I'm not going to mess with you. Paul's attitude toward those who brought in false teachings, he called them heretics. He says you warn a heretic two or three times, and then you have nothing to do with them. Jesus' attitude was, leave them alone. The blind lead the blind. They'll both end up in hell. He hasn't changed his view on this. So we're not told to argue, so I don't sit and argue and debate with women who think they have public ministry. I state what I see in Scripture, and then I leave it alone. If they can't see it and don't want to see it, it means the Holy Spirit is sending them a delusion. So after two and three warnings with people, they don't need to be pestered anymore. And like Paul said, then let them stay ignorant. There's a consequence to that, staying ignorant, though, once you've been enlightened. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 12 through 15, real briefly. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She's not to teach men or rule as a teaching elder, but to be in silence. He's speaking of public ministry again. And he's going to tell us why. See, the women want to say it's because of customs. Paul's going to explain something to us. For Adam was formed first and then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Adam openly, once his wife sinned, chose to stay with her. He knew it was wrong and it was evil to eat of the fruit. Eve was tricked. She was guilty. The serpent beguiled me, and he did. It doesn't matter how he tricked her. She was told, you don't do this by God, and she did it. That was the point of it. And so it appears that God has submitted women to subjection because of this. Now, we go back over to Isaiah. They will guide you. Remember it said they will lead you into error. Most cults, so-called Christian cults and stuff, many of them were propagated by women. So God is saying there's a greater potential for women to be deceived in spiritual matters. than for men. Democracy. Oh, that's just not true. We're equal. Women are just as equal. Well, it's amazing. Paul called women the weaker vessels. Not only physically, but emotionally, they're not made for certain things. And it appears authority and leadership over men is one of them. And God has not changed his opinion on this matter. Okay. So he says it was the woman who fell into transgression. It's interesting, though, so the man does not escape reproof here. God held Adam more accountable for the fall than he did Eve. Roman heretical church, they blame everything on the woman as if the man was not responsible. The woman was tricked. Adam, with open eyes, rebelled against God. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in his epistle, he calls it the sin of Adam. He does not call it the sin of Eve. See, because he was the authority. He was held accountable when he submitted to his wife. That's when the final punishment came, is when he was ruled and submitted to his wife and encouraging him to eat something that God told him not to eat. And so he was held as the greater authority. So it's called the sin of Adam. And when Jesus came, he's called the second Adam. He come to undo what Adam and Eve had done to the human race, provide a way out. Verse 15, this is a very controversial scripture that has been perverted often too by the Roman system. Nevertheless, even because all of this happened, he's saying, she, the Christian woman he's talking about, will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness with self-control. They've taught, which I think is sort of funny, that the woman was taught that she's saved, salvation comes by her having children. You see why the Catholic Church teaches this, because that's the main form of evangelism for that corrupt system, is to breed converts. They don't get overall many converts like the Protestants do in evangelical, so they breed them. But see, again, that's a corruption. So we see that the woman's part and punishment, as man was to toil and labor and nature and crops and pests and disease and flies were going to fight him, that was part of God's punishment to restrain man and to keep his conscience from going crazy. See, people think that was just the punishment. No, once the spirit departed from Adam and Eve, they became restless. They had very little peace. And it kept them from going crazy. It gave them something to do. It was actually common sense. Man had to work hard and labor to produce food for his family and survive. And the woman's part was she would bear children in sorrow as a reminder of the disobedience and transgression of the woman. Notice it says here she will be saved in childbearing. Not salvation. I can't believe that so-called intelligent people could be so stupid. She's not going to be saved because she has children. But often Roman Catholicism has taught that in the past, that that's how a woman stays right with God. She keeps breeding like a rat. That's basically what they imply. No, how shall she be saved? Means she will not die when she's bearing child. If she's faithful to the Lord and godly, God will protect her. He will save her life. Remember, at this time and many times, the death rate was very high in the Roman world, or anywhere in the world at this time, and it was very common for women to lose half of their children they had. Many of them died, half of them, before they were a year old. And there were cases, too, a much higher percentage of women dying in childbirth. So Paul is simply saying the godly woman, the woman who serves the Lord properly, she won't die when she is bearing children, when she's giving birth to children. See, it's so simple. The most intellectual people can be so stupid because demons deceive them. See, that's why some of these cults and some of these people are very intellectual people. They're brilliant people as far as the world's concerned. But like Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, you've hid these things that I'm telling the common people. You've hid it from the wise and the intellectual. Why? Because of their sins, he sends a lying spirit to them. See? People can't see that. See, Christians can. They think God's just out to save everybody under all conditions. That is not true. He hides wisdom from the wicked. He says the wicked shall never understand. Doesn't matter how intellectual they are. I know people. I've debated them. They know scripture back and forth. They know scripture better than I do, and yet they're deceived because they misinterpret it. They can quote it, but they can't rightly handle it, especially when they believe gullible doctrines that lead people to hell, licensed to sin, once saved, always saved. And these are supposed to be people who know the word. See, the Holy Spirit, as Paul said, is not giving them revelation or wisdom. That comes from the Lord. See, Bible study doesn't profit a person anything if he's not going to submit to it and obey his conscience. See, therefore, they're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They will live and die false Christians. They will live and die intellectuals, thinking they know something when God has taken wisdom from them. See? He gives the wisdom to the humble and the lowly. And Jesus said, I thank you, Father, you've done this. What is he thanking the Father for? That you're not given intellectual spiritual wisdom. Because they're arrogant, they're proud, and they have to come to the Lord like the lowly do. The gospel in general was for the poor. And even Paul said, look at your Christian calling. There are not many rich. There are not many noble. There's not many wise. Not because God selected that. It's because he don't have any special gospel for them. They have to come the same way and humble themselves. And they have to sometimes get rid of their riches and become fools to learn anything from God. They have to see their arrogance and their knowledge doesn't mean nothing to God. It has no spiritual value. See, they don't get it. And therefore, they cannot come to the Lord properly. And God doesn't change the gospel to suit them. So we are saved by hearing, obeying the gospel of Christ. Women are not saved by bearing lots of children for the Lord. That is a false, perverse interpretation of any scripture. True salvation comes from the gospel being proclaimed through confession of sin, repentance, and a person committing themselves to follow the Lord. See, that's what salvation is. It's not the line, once saved, always saved. It's not a mental confession that Jesus is Lord, as hundreds of millions say, Lord, Lord, and Jesus will cast them into the lake of fire, and he will say, you're wicked, you're lawless, and I don't know you. And yet they believe Jesus was the Son of God. Where did it get them? It got them in hell because they did not obey him. And as Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I tell you? So we got many false Christians. We got many disobedient who won't stay Christians long. See? And then they pretend to be elders and leaders and pastors, and they won't do their job. Then the Apostle James says, we shall come under a stricter judgment, and many of them will not make it into the kingdom. Even the Apostle Paul said, a curse on me if I preach not the gospel. He didn't say that he had an option in the matter. He had an option to obey God or disobey him. That was God's word to the prophets. He did not ask their opinions. He did not ask for their vote on it. See, we think everything's according to the American Constitution. Well, that's blasphemy and idolatry as far as God is concerned. See, God will permit any kind of government if it maintains peace and order in society. If it doesn't persecute openly Christians, he'll sustain that guy. He don't care if it's a dictatorship, a monarchy, even communism that did not abuse and keep Christians from serving the Lord. God would not care. See, all of that nonsense of God and country, that's an American idolatry. See, they do what the Catholic Church did for hundreds of years. They mix their religion with politics. God doesn't. He makes it very plain that we're not to be a part of the world system. We're in a different system and kingdom, and we're not to get involved too much with politics. We can accomplish more by praying than even by voting. People say, well, if Christians voted, I said, well, the majority of people are not Christians. And the majority ones that claim to be Christians are false Christians. So if we're going to go by majority, then the wicked rule the nations. because that's who the majority is. See, it shows you they have no spiritual discernment whatsoever. They think they're going to win the world by competing with the world. See, because they don't understand spiritual things. They don't understand the Christians in a different kingdom. And our emphasis is not on the political situations in our nations. That is not our priority. Even God said, what do you do with people outside the body of Christ? He said, nothing. That's God's place to judge them. We're concerned with God's will and with God's people. That's our nation. We're of a wholly different nation. Okay? So we see that true repentance, true salvation, does not come by women having a bunch of children. Again, a heresy, false teaching, to breed demonic converts is basically what that religion does. Okay? Oh, let me back up a minute. Up in verse 3, when the older women were told not to be given to wine and gossip, teaching what is good. I just want to clarify here, the teaching is not public teaching. It's not teaching as a called teacher of the Lord, a mature Christian. The teaching here was to teach women how to be good wives and mothers. That's what it was. Isn't it astounding? It says they had to teach young women to love their husbands and their children. Why? Because love is not just an emotion or feeling. It's a duty. And so he's saying that women have to learn to love their husbands, even if their husbands aren't good husbands. Christian women have to be respectful and obedient even to their wicked husbands, much less a false hypocrite husband. See, God will take care of it when he's ready. Okay, but that's her duty. And to love her children. Children can wear you down. Children can oppress you. You need grace and wisdom. And so the older women were to teach women and prepare them. This child you have that you think is the loveliest thing in the world, you're going to find out later there'll be a time you want to knock them in the head because they're driving you crazy. That you have a duty to discipline your emotions, your feelings. And when you deal with the children, you don't let your emotions sidetrack proper discipline. So these are the things that women were to teach. They were not to teach doctrine, scripture, over men and others. So that's another scripture that has been so well perverted. Let's go ahead and take a break here.